Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Write or Die. I'm so excited for today's episode because one of my favorites is on Roselle Lim. Her debut novel, Natalie Tan's Book of Luck and Fortune, comes out in summer 2019. How are you, Roselle?
Hi, I'm great.
So Roselle had quite an interesting, long and winding road to get to where she is today. So I'm really excited for her to share her story with the Write or Die listeners. So Roselle, do you just want to just kick us off and let us know how you got into writing, how you got your agent? Just take us through everything. I want to know all the juicy details.
I wrote about 6 manuscripts before I decided that I was ready to query. And this is when I started writing in high school. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of stuff online that's so much more accessible right now, where you can see agents and agencies and their submission guidelines. At this time, it was a few agencies were online, and I decided to query this very not prepared manuscript out. I sent out one query. One.
Okay.
And I never heard back.
Oh, no.
Which I think is better for me because I realized I had to sit down and get better.
Yeah.
So what I did was I joined the contest. I went on Twitter and I joined one of Brenda Drake's contests, Pitch Madness. And this is the one, this isn't Pitch Wars. This is the one where you enter, somebody picks you out of the slush, and then they give you your hook. Like, I think it's just an elevator pitch at this point.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
I went on there. I got a few requests. The best part about contests, though, is that you get to meet people. And this is how I learned the definition of critique partners.
Okay.
Because I never had one before.
Yeah. So important. So important to have critique partners. And yes, contests are such a great way to meet them. That's how I met mine as well. So how did that all unfold?
It went well. I did get requests. I didn't get an offer from that particular contest and the manuscript. What I did get, though, is a pub offer from a small press.
Okay.
And after thinking about it, I thought, okay, I don't think that this is right for me, because I had to choose between getting the small pub offer or keep going and just go on my agent search. And that's what I did. I'm like, okay, I'm going to scrap this or shelve this manuscript, start over and write better. And I got the critique partners that I have are great because they covered my weaknesses. In this case, I had one really, really good grammar and line editor, okay. Karma Brown.
Okay.
And I got another one who was great at looking at big picture stuff, and I got better and I wrote another manuscript, and that's the one that got me my first agent.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, the difference that critique partners can make, it's unbelievable. So tell me about that first sort of agent match, if you can.
The first agent that I've gotten, she offered in, I think, 3 days.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, this was agent number 100 and something that I queried. So this isn't like the...
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Rewind. You queried how many agents?
Over 100.
Oh, okay. So we skipped over that. All right. So you queried over 100 agents. And how was... I don't necessarily need to know your request rate or anything like that, but did you get feedback? Was there a lot of form rejections? Like, tell me a little bit about that whole process for you to get to that point.
So first of all, this isn't the same manuscript that I entered Pitch Madness with.
Oh, okay.
So I wrote a fantasy. I wrote a fantasy for that one. And this time I thought, okay, I'm going to try writing literary.
Jesus. So you wrote so many books, you're just like, this one didn't work. Try another one. La la la. That's amazing.
In a very different genre, which is like nuts.
I know. Not even like. Okay. So tell me about that. Because now I'm like, because I know you told me that you wrote six books before you got, you wrote the book to get you your agent. So you entered, I want to make sure I have the timeline right. So you entered a bunch of contests.
With the fantasy. That was actually manuscript number 7.
Okay.
Manuscript number 8 is the one that got me my first agent.
Your first agent. Okay. Yep. So the 7th manuscript was the one that you entered the contest with and that you met your critique partners. You became a better writer. Then you wrote a literary novel and you got your first agent. So did you – how many agents did you query with the literary novel?
Over 100.
Okay, that one was over 100. Okay. Okay. I wasn't sure if that was the fantasy or the literary.
Oh, the fantasy was also over 100. And yeah. Go big or go home. I swear what it is.
Okay, so this is amazing because me and Kat run the this like group for DB Pit hopefuls, and a lot of them feel discouraged sometimes because they're getting rejections and stuff. Guys, if you're listening, listen to how many times Rosie had to query in order to get her first agent. That's unreal, and I applaud you because that is really badass of you. So you queried a lot of people. First, the 7th manuscript didn't work out. 8th one got you your agent. What happens next?
I thought that this was it. I was like, oh my God, I have an agent. This is great. Everything's going to be so easy now. I can get a book deal. I can go to the bookstore and see my book. That did not happen, unfortunately. I went on submission and that manuscript never sold.
Oh, gosh. What was that like?
Interesting, because it's a big contrast to what happened next. So what happened was about 9 months I was on submission and it's just rejection after rejection. And the thing is, yeah, it's a little bit easier in that, you know, you're not alone when you're being rejected because it's also your agent, right?
Right.
And yeah, like it was just so... My agent was like, okay, we're going to pull this out and you're going to revise. I'm like, okay. I had my notes. I revised. And the thing is, between the both of us, we had communication issues. And I knew it wasn't going to work out.
Okay.
It's one of those things that they never really tell you in querying 101, that having more than one agent is pretty common in the business.
Absolutely. Absolutely is. And I think a lot of people attach this sort of romantic notion to agents, which I get it because we're writers and we want to see everything through a certain lens, but it's also a business. And I think that getting your agent and working with your agent is a huge part of the business. And sometimes you're going to have to switch. It happens. So how was that, making the decision to leave your agent? Because I've been through that. It's really hard. What made you finally decide that it was the right choice for you? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how painful was it?
It was pretty painful because, like, my relationship with her was kind of like a more friendly and casual kind of situation, right? Because I know sometimes you have for most people, I think they have the business one where my agent's awesome. I talk to him or her when I need them. They'll go to bat for me. But the friendship stuff is not always a guaranteed component of it. So yeah, like I had to leave her because I couldn't finish the novel that I got my current agent with without leaving her. It was this big mental block, and it's the biggest thing where you're like, I just got out of the waiting room. I'm kicking my own ass back into the waiting room for querying because this is what was good for me.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's taking a huge risk, right? Because you're like, I have an agent. But if it's not the right match, then it doesn't really matter because it's not helping your career, right?
Every writer out there has this idea of a dream agent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the thing is, in reality, a lot of the agents you're querying, you don't really know them all that well. You may think you know them from their Twitter persona, mm-hmm. if they're on Twitter, right?
Yep.
But it's like, it gives you this false idea that you know who that person is. That person would be perfect for you.
Right.
But you don't know how they operate, though. And the only way that you get like a really deeper understanding of that is when you both enter into this agreement. The agent-author relationship.
Right. So tell me about what happened after you decided to part ways with your agent.
So after I've headed back into the query trench. Well, I had to finish the book. I did finish it. Went back into the query trenches about a month before the first DV pit happened.
Woohoo! So did you know that you were going to do DV PIT? Did you not know? Did you reach out to any of the agents that you had previously queried that like gave you feedback or anything like that?
I didn't, because I didn't even know I was entering DV PIT until that morning, where I had somebody who's great at pitches like help me out. And I'm like, okay. She's like, why aren't you doing it? I'm like, all right, I'll do it.
Oh my gosh.
I put my pitch out there and it resonated, got a lot of requests from agents, and yeah, it was incredible. And I have so much respect for Beth for creating it and sustaining it and just having this great event that gives marginalized authors such a great opportunity to have their day, their spot.
Absolutely. If for those of you who are listening and don't know what DV PIT is, I talk about it pretty much every episode, but it's, I'm going to link it in the show notes, but it's a contest that takes place on Twitter, and it's specifically for marginalized authors. And it's how I got my agent too. So, do you remember how many likes you got on your pitch?
I just know it's over 100.
Oh my gosh. You must've been freaking out.
I know you and I were both opening up the spreadsheets.
Oh, yes. Oh, the spreadsheets. Those are important. So tell me what happens next. You get all of these requests from agents. Now, did you query everybody, or were you selective? Take me through that process.
This time around, I was a little bit more selective. I think it's because I got over my first parting with an agent that, you know, like, getting over leaving my first agent. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I'm going to be a little bit more selective.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's the first one didn't work out, and I want to make sure that this one really started on the right footing.
Absolutely. So how many people did you end up querying?
I can't remember.
Okay.
It's about 100. It's like, that's what I'm batting for usually in this round too.
You just love 100. Just love it so much.
Well, the thing is, I had about like, I think I had about 15. I had 15 to 20. Around 15 to 20 fulls before DV Pit even started.
Oh, wow. So you already had fulls out there. Okay.
Yep. And if anything, DV Pit just accelerated the timeline.
Right. So, obviously, I know that you got your agent through DV Pit. How did that happen? So, you get an offer from somebody, and then you have to nudge the other agents who have your stuff, right?
Yeah. I was driving home. We were driving home from having to drop the kid off at a birthday party. We're picking her up. We're driving home. And I'm looking at my phone, just looking, and I'm like, oh, yay, another rejection. Great. I need to buy some spring rolls to offset.
Oh my gosh.
So we stopped by a Filipino place that's like a bodega. They sold they sold hot food and stuff. I'm like, I just grabbed a bunch of spring rolls. Heading home, when I sat down in front of the computer to check my email, I had a spring roll in my mouth. And then all of a sudden, I got an email from Jenny Bent, that said, I loved your book. Do you want to talk?
Oh, my God. Did you choke on the spring roll? Yes or no?
I didn't choke.
Okay.
I was looking at the screen and my husband's like, what's wrong with you? Because I was just staring like a hole through the laptop screen. And I'm like, I think Jenny is offering.
Oh,
and he's like, that's a good thing, isn't it? And I'm like, I don't know. Be right back. Ran to the bathroom, into the toilet where all of the spring rolls went because my body just couldn't handle emotions.
Oh no! So you threw up all the possible rejection spring rolls, which turned into weird celebratory spring rolls, I guess.
Yes, it's yeah.
Oh, that's like sad, but like really funny. Also, it's a great story. So then, what happened? Did you email her back after you finished?
I emailed her back. I talked to her, and the thing is, it's Jenny. I mean, when I started querying, I was like, you know, I put hard eyes. This is one of my dream agents. Maybe one day I queried her too with the other manuscripts that I, you know, the other manuscripts that I queried. Like, if you're
okay,
if
you're number 7 and 8.
Yeah, if you're a writer, if you keep querying the same agent and they do keep requesting, but eventually pass, it might mean like one crucial thing that they do like your writer's voice, but the premise or the idea isn't right for them yet.
Absolutely, that's very true. So you said you emailed her or you called her back?
I emailed her. We had the call, and I decided instead of doing the 2-week waiting period, I just did one because I knew this was it. After the call, I was like, no, this is the agent I want to go with. And the thing is, when she called, during our call, she was like, I want to be the first and the last person you speak to.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So okay. I was like, oh my God, okay. So, yeah, when I told her I've accepted, then we went into edits. I mean, we're talking about, like, really intense edits. I've learned so much from her. We're talking rounds and rounds of edits, working on character motivation, the plot, the character arc, all of that.
How long did it take you to revise and... was it what you expected? Like, because once you got your agent after DV Pit, and the way it happened was like in such a whirlwind way. Did you think your book was going to sell quickly? Like, did you think you were going to go on sub quickly, or were you disappointed about having to do so many revisions? How are you feeling?
Oh, Jenny was very upfront with me in the beginning, saying that this needs work.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? After having gone on sub before with my other book for 9 months and not hearing a peep, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, bring on the work. I will do this.
Absolutely. And
yeah, it was intense. It was just a lot of editing. Because what ended up happening was in my first round, the first major round that I did, I edited too much.
Okay.
And I had to like course correct and stuff in the subsequent rounds. But yeah, I changed too much. And that's the other thing too. Like, that was like obviously a big error on my part. But it was just like, you checked in on me. You're like, hey, how are you doing? Still revising. Still revising.
Yeah. I mean, it was, how long total were you doing revisions after you signed with Jenny?
Definitely over a year.
Okay. And this is so interesting to me. And I'm really glad that you're here today, because I think a lot of people think that their manuscript has to be perfect in order to get an agent. And the truth is that like most people are going to have to do some form of revision. And sometimes it's just about the agent connecting, like you said, with your voice as a writer and your premise at the same time. And if they believe in those two things, then sometimes they're willing to put in the work to get the book where it needs to be in order to go on sub, because it's so competitive, you know.
It is.
So keep telling me about your revision process. How did you survive being on revision for over a year? Like, how did you keep yourself motivated?
The one thing that I know every writer feels when they're revising, especially when you're revising to go on sub, is watching the book news roll out every Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and going, why am I not there? Why am I not there?
that's literally me.
When you're in that, when you're in the revision cave, it's, you have to have, you really do have to have your eyes on the paper. And sometimes, like, it's really hard to see the end. And the way for me to keep track of that is just every once in a while, it'll take a while, I have to drag my sorry butt to the bookstore, look at the shelves, and imagine my book there.
Oh, wow.
That's what your goal is, right? Yeah,
absolutely. That's such a good idea, because it's not just like thinking about it in your head. You're going to the, like, you're taking yourself to the place where you want your book to be and imagining it there. That's really smart. I'm going to have to try that one day and see if it works. So you got through the revisions. You did it. How did you feel when Jenny was like, okay, this is it. Like, you're ready to go on sub. Were you so happy or what?
I was numb. I was like, are you sure? There's like, I'm waiting. I'm sitting there waiting for like the other shoe to drop, because I'm waiting for the more edits email to come in. Like, no, this isn't right. Like, I was like, okay. And then the thing is, we went on sub right before there was like a snowstorm in New York.
Okay.
We were supposed to go on sub Thursday, but there was a big snowstorm happening that day.
What year was this? This was
this year.
Oh, this was this year. Okay.
This year in March, sometime in March, there was a big nor'easter coming in. And Jenny was like, oh, well, you know what? Don't worry about it. We'll go on sub on Friday. Then the editors will be at their desk and it should be fine. In the meantime, it's okay because we don't have a title yet.
Okay.
Because, yeah, we were brainstorming for the title and up until it was go time.
Oh, my gosh. I really like your title. It's really cool.
It was what Jenny made us. She's really great with titles. So she's kept sending me like documents and we're going a list and we're going back and forth. And I'm like, I really like that one. Can we combine that one with the other one? And that's how.
The Frankenstein method. I think that always works best when you have like two ideas and then you merge them. I have like one good title idea in me per book, and after that I'm useless. So
same.
Okay, so you go on sub on a Friday, which, you know, usually it's pretty quiet over the weekend for people. What happened to you?
Jenny sent it out. I was like, okay, it's quiet. And then Jenny got back to me like that afternoon saying an editor's already reading it.
Wow, that's so super fast. Do you remember how many people she sent to in the initial round or no?
I can't remember. I think it was like a little over 15, I think.
Okay.
Over 15-ish.
Okay.
But yeah, that day one of the editors already told her that she loved it. And she was taking it to acquisitions.
The same day that you went on sub?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unreal.
Which is a complete contrast to the other time I went on sub where it was quiet. Everything was completely quiet for the 9 months.
Oh my gosh. That's really wild. That's so quick. So were you eating spring rolls again this time or no?
No, because I didn't believe it.
Oh my gosh. So then what happened after that? I want to know everything. How are you feeling? What did you do once Jenny told you that somebody was reading and loving and taking to acquisitions? And take me on the journey of what happens next.
One thing that I would want to advise other writers to do is that when you go on sub, even though you've had a bad experience or a good experience, I think it's a wise idea to keep a journal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That'll let you know your feelings before you went on sub and when you went on sub. It'll document everything so that if everything's moving slowly, then you know, you put in an entry here and there. But if everything's moving quickly, at least you can break it down by day.
That's so smart. And it's perfect also because then when they're on my podcast, they can read to me from their diary.
Yeah.
um, so, um, So, okay, so ignore my stupid jokes. So what did you tell me everything. Tell me how you felt and what happened next.
I still couldn't believe it. I'm like, somebody wants to read this book that is super Chinese that's got food in it. Like, I can't believe it. And after, that's the Friday, on the Tuesday, Jenny calls my cell and asks me if I'm okay to taking calls from editors.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, oh, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I could do that. Then that's when all of the calls started.
So was Jenny on the calls with you, or did you take them, like, just on your own?
Oh, no, thank God she was on the calls with me.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I feel like that would be really scary for it to just be you.
I think it's great because she's, you know, it puts me at ease.
Yeah, for one. Course.
So, yeah, I mean, that's when the phone call, that's when the conference call express happened.
What's the conference call express? So you just kept, like, rolling calls all day?
Yeah, it was like every day there's a call and talking to a different editor. It was just, it went by quickly. And it was like really great talking. It's kind of, somebody asked me before saying, what is a call with an editor like? Because she was going to get her call. And I said, to me, it's sort of like a mutual job interview.
Oh, wow. That's a really good way to describe it, actually. That's really
fun. That you're selling yourself that you are not an axe murderer to your editor, your future editor. And they're selling their imprint, their house to you.
That's really good. So how many editors did you speak to? Do you remember?
Like about, I think, 8.
Damn, Rosie, that's a lot of editors to talk to. Were you tired by the end of it? I mean, it sounds great, but also like a little bit draining.
It is. If you're an introvert, like take your time, recharge, go out there. Like if you're an extrovert, I'm pretty sure that's completely like, it'll energize you. For me, I just made sure that I'm like, okay, I took notes on every call, you know, like wrote down my impressions and how this would weigh in on my decision later, because Jenny set the auction date for that Tuesday, for the next Tuesday.
So you went to auction. Unreal. So can you explain to our listeners what auction is, in case anybody doesn't know?
In my case, it was auction best offer. So basically any editor who is interested in your book will put in an offer on the first round in the morning, and then Jenny will say this is the best offer, and then they get another opportunity for round 2 in the afternoon, and that's the last set of offers that are, you know, nominally better than your first offer in the first round. And then the author decides where they want to go.
So how did you pick Penguin Berkeley for your publisher? Because you ended up going with them. What made them stand out to you?
For me, the winning factor was the fact that my editor, Cindy Wong, is Taiwanese.
Ha. Yeah, that's amazing to be able to have an editor that
It's the cultural connection.
Culture. Yeah, for sure. So since we're talking about the cultural connection, tell us a little bit about your book.
My book is about a woman who, upon hearing the news of her mother's passing, goes back home to San Francisco's Chinatown, finds out that there is a family restaurant that she wants to take over, and also learns about the secrets of her family that she didn't know about.
That sounds so good. And I read a chapter like early on before you did like a year and a half of revisions, and it was already so beautiful. So I can't even imagine the shape that it's in right now. So you basically wrote 9 books. Is that correct?
Yep.
Nine books. You wrote 9 books. You got over 200 rejections. You had to part ways with your agent, and then you signed with your dream agent and got a book deal after an auction. That is wild. Like, just your journey is a book, really, when you think about it.
It's just about getting like a thick skin and knowing that a lot of this, it's art. like writing is like an art, that it will be very subjective. And some of the stuff that you're going to see, it's not you. Like, it's really not your work. It's just, there are more writers than there are agents, and agents have to be choosy about what speaks to them.
Absolutely. That's so important to keep in mind. Do you have any tips for writers who are querying right now and who feel discouraged about getting rejections, or they think that they're not going to make it, or they're not good enough? Like, what can they do to keep themselves motivated? And if you could give them like a piece of advice, what would it be?
Three things. One, have good friends who write, ones that have your back, ones who you can sit, because honestly, this business is so hard. And I also see a lot of writers, unfortunately, who use social media like Twitter to air out their disappointments, which is fine. But in the end, it's more healthy. Yeah, it's more healthy for you to go find a friend you can confide in. Mm-hmm. Like, I was taught to keep all of your stuff like to your friends. I always keep my cards close to my chest. I tell my friends everything, and that's what you need. You need friends who will motivate you, encourage you to keep going. You really need to, you may not like revisions, but get used to it.
Suck it up.
Well, it is. It's just, you're not going to get better if you don't know how to revise, or at least embrace the process that revisions are a part of the process.
Mm. And what's the third thing?
Every once in a while, have a hobby or read or like watch a movie, because if you're constantly just on social media, mm-hmm. thinking about the fact that you're either still revising and you haven't made it to your dream yet, it can be a very depressing, dark hole. You have to find joy in your life that, yes, while writing is extremely important to you, you have to remember balance. That there are other things you can do. You know what I mean? It's just stepping back a little bit to gain perspective so that when you're querying, you're in a better state of mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so smart. That's amazing. Thank you so much for, sharing that with everybody. So everybody who comes on Write or Die, I ask them to share either one thing that they wish they'd known when they started, or their most embarrassing moment as a writer or in publishing thus far. It's up to you which one you want to do. You can do both.
I already told you I puked on your podcast. So that was a gimme, but for me, it would be, I guess, the piece of advice that I wish that I had known is, this one's a hard one, because I was thinking about it, and I guess it'll come back again to that agent thing where it's normal to have more than one. Like, it's not a failure on your part. It's just you don't know. It's kind of like a marriage. You just don't know how it's going to turn out. You hope it's the forever, happily ever after situation. But if that isn't the case and you end up parting ways, it's okay. Like, that's fine. There's no shame in that. You just keep going.
Absolutely. I think that's a really smart thing to keep in mind. So can you tell our listeners where they can follow you on social media or online?
I am on Twitter at Roselle Writer, and on Instagram, same handle. And my website is easy, rosellelim.com.
Perfect. And everybody make sure that you add Roselle's book on Goodreads. I am going to link all of her social media and everything below. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, and I think that listening to your journey is definitely going to help a lot of writers.
I really hope so, because it is a very rough business, and the only profession that I can think of that is worse than writing for rejections is acting.
Oh my gosh.
Because people are going to point out the physical features you can't revise.
Well, I mean, you can if you have plastic surgery, but
exactly. But for most people, it's...
thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Write or Die. Please don't forget to check out all the links in the show notes below and follow me on Twitter at Clarabelle_Ortega. See you next week.